This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
here's a little secret with what I do at the Rod Peterson Show, and I've made a career of it. I don't care whether you like me or you don't like me, but when you watch my show, I just want you to feel something.
How about that?
Whether you're happy or you're sad or you're angry or you're proud, I just want you to feel something. Because a lot of times you'll read a column or watch a show and say, That's never been the hallmark of what I do. I want to make you think. I want to make you feel something. And it's worked. And if you don't agree with me, I'll be fine.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome to the RP Show, everybody. Hour two. We're Facebook Live only, and we've got a flood, a veritable fire hose of comments coming in here. If you're just joining us, maybe you are listening to the podcast live later in the day, and you missed hour one. Here's the breaking news today. The XFL announcing this morning they're coming back, but not until 2022. We're examining what that means for the XFL. What does that mean for the Canadian Football League? The Blue Jays, well, I'll get to that in the quick six. We up on that in a second. Looks like Trenton Norway's finished his supper. It is 7.04 p.m. in Norway. 1904 in military terms. Can we put it up? Here it is. Norway calling. The CFL needs to work hard to bring the league back. Get the Atlantic Schooners into the league and get more Canadians to play in the CFL. That's how they can hold their own down the road. I still think the global initiative should go ahead. As the commissioner said, it was a long-term investment. To close, CFL, market more than you think. Stay well, everyone. There you go. Trent is bringing the sizzle, the fire. Thank you, Trent. And Don McNeil in Central Ontario writing in, he says, if you feel the CFL owners are willing to go down with the ship, could it be an accounting procedure? I'm no financial wizard, but maybe they think it makes sense to go bust and then to go on. But I'm guessing. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think with the CFL news and the XFL news, there is no CFL news other than mass layoffs all across the country with all CFL teams. I think it's okay for us to sit here today and tomorrow and sit and talk about what should come next, because we've kind of been sitting here for 7 months awaiting the CFL to come up with some grandiose plan to save itself, and we haven't seen anything yet other than the Grey Cup fan base. That's a fact. So I think it's okay for us to talk about it and the viewers to talk about it, and maybe some genius thought will come up as to where this league is going. But, you know, Trent was saying the CFL should have more Canadians, and I wholeheartedly agree. There's a lot of things to get to here. A lot of moving parts. For instance, if we were to merge the XFL and CFL, there's a lot of things there. I'd like to see one big 19-20 team league. 19 or 20 teams. That's what I like. 10 up here, 10 down there. Let's go. Shouldn't be hard to do. But I don't want to see the Canadians go away. So I think Americans, globals, and Canadians can all be put into one big pool, right? And then you can have a draft from there. Let's see who goes first, by the way. That should tell you who's better, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should.
One big pool of players between the CFL and XFL. Have a draft, and then go from there. And I want to see Moncton so bad in the league. I now have family living out there close to Moncton, Rexton to be exact. The facility's fantastic there. It's beautiful at the University of Moncton. I don't get why they don't want a team there. Why the CFL doesn't want a team in Moncton. They're just hell-bent on pounding Halifax into the... Whatever. I'd have to ask my stadium friends, the nuts and bolts guys and girls, how hard is it to go from a Canadian field to an American field? Because if we're going to partner with the XFL, I think we got to go to a smaller field in four rules. I'm sorry. COVID killed Canadian pro football. Canadian football. Sorry. Change my mind. For the long-term good of the sport. That's just my opening preamble of hour two. Hang on. Coming up later on this hour, Brandon London is going to be with us. New York Jets, Miami Dolphins, Pittsburgh Steelers, and then four seasons with the Montreal Alouettes. Super Bowl champion, by the way, in Super Bowl 52. Brandon London. Now, television and movie stars going to be with us later on. Let's re-up on the quick six show topics, please. Director Jordan. Guy must have the largest bladder in the world. Yeah. We're running to the bathroom during the show, and he just sits back there like a camel.
Never moves.
Anyways, point one, the XFL plans a 2022 return, as we just mentioned. Point two, the Blue Jays are swept. I'm only smiling because I heard what they said back there. Did you hear what they said?
No.
A bumper? Jordan has the bladder of a camel. It's not funny. Blue Jays are swept. If you wanted to do a coffee table book on the Blue Jays 2020 playoff run, it would be a pamphlet. Point three, Wednesday winners in Major League Baseball playoffs. Braves, Astros, Marlins, A's, Cards, Yankees, Dodgers. I feel like we're headed towards a train wreck. The Astros somewhere along the line, if they could advance to the LCS and heaven forbid the World Series, look out. That'll be delicious and juicy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
What a story.
It will. And then the whole world cheering against them. Crazy.
Point four, game one of the NBA Finals went to the Lakers big time, 116-98. Last hour, Arash went deep on that game and said, don't read anything into it. The Heat are better than that. But the Lakers sure looked determined. I don't know how many championships will this be for the Lakers if they win it. Didn't Kobe win five alone? Got to look that up. Because I think they're going to win it. They may sweep this thing. Tonight, point five, Thursday night football, the Denver Broncos at the New York Jets. They are a combined 0-6. This game tonight will be like watching two old people have sex. Clark, oh, would you keep it to yourself back there? So, in absence of that, point six, CFL Sim Game Day. Tonight, it's game day. 9-5 Saskatchewan at 6-7 Edmonton. We'll be calling the game. This crew tonight, Commonwealth Stadium at Brick Field. Virtual Cody Fajardo versus virtual Trevor Harris. Esports, CFL Sim League. I got to think this is going to be way more exciting than Thursday Night Football. What do you think?
I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be more exciting for sure. The thing about the Thursday Night games is, you know, the bad matchups have turned into great games, but this one, I think, is so bad that you just can't overcome the bad matchup on paper. And the CFL Sim game is so delicious in terms of the matchup. And the fact that every single week, we keep thinking about this, that something randomly weird and crazy happens, that, you know, we do the highlights afterwards, and I'm thinking, yeah, I got to do these highlights, but I'm not going to do them every week. Well, every week something comes up, and it's like, we got to do them. So, yeah, it's going to be wild. I can't wait to see what happens.
People are loving this. Everybody's awake today. Can you put the comment up from Jack in Alberta? He's really bringing the smoke today. Basically saying, don't blame the demise of the CFL on COVID. Blame the demise of the CFL on a solid financial plan. We can go back on that. Connor, there it is. Rod, COVID didn't kill the CFL, in my opinion. The lack of a sound financial business plan is what it is killing the CFL. Just my opinion. Connor, the 15-year-old in Yorkton, says, and I'm leaving. That was on the two old people getting busy line. Colin in Ottawa says, the title of the 2020 Blue Jays playoff coffee table pamphlet, Hyunjin Ryu, where are you? Your mom's watching and she says, LOL, what next will I hear? That's why you have to keep watching, because you don't know the next word out of my mouth. And I know that. Because I don't know the next word out of my mouth. That's what makes this must-see TV. Armando Moreno's watching in Mexico. He says, isn't it the Trevor Lawrence Bowl? Nobody was even talking about the Broncos and the Jets in the sweepstakes for Trevor Lawrence. It was the Jaguars and the Panthers. And those two teams had other ideas.
I know.
It's week four and we're talking about who's going to be last. It's a good comment, by the way. Are you going to be watching Armando down there in Mexico? Are we going to hear that on the pregame show tonight, I wonder? Will they even talk about this tank for Trevor?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they will?
Absolutely. They'll be talking about the quarterback situation in Denver. And, you know, is Trevor Lawrence the next guy to be the long-term quarterback? Drew Locke looks really good in Denver, but is he the next guy? Now, in New York, Sam Darnold is their future. You know, they're not trying to tank for Tua.
Trevor.
Or for Trevor, I mean. They want, I think Sam Darnold's their guy. I think they're pretty happy with Sam Darnold, but Trevor Lawrence is pretty special. You'll always take somebody better, but Yeah, they're going to talk about it for sure, especially if a quarterback struggles.
Colin in Ottawa says, I'm a New York Jets fan, and I don't even want to see my team tonight. Oh, they are so bad. That's what the analysts are saying, that Sam Darnold is way better than this, and poor Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Can you remember, is he the Connor McDavid of the NFL?
Sam Darnold? No, he's not that good.
You know what I'm saying, though. A star saddled
stuck
with a bunch of...
Yeah.
And I'm baggage, talking about... I mean, the orders.
No, and you can't go. It's
the guy that would be a like just mega star somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Connor didn't even win MVP of the league this year.
I know. No, I agree with you.
So you're saying, yeah, Sam Darnold's not the MVP material, but he's still far better than what he's got around
him. Oh, yeah, and he's stuck there, and he's just thinking, man, I'm supposed to be a star in this league, and look at what I got to play with. This is like, get me some help. Like,
exactly.
At least they got Connor. They got Leon for Connor. At least they got him Leon.
Neon Leon. Well, and I'm thinking about this with the Blue Jays. Like, all this good young nucleus, Kevin Biggio. Bo Bichette was 0-6 in the series. I'm just going to point that out there. Vladdy, did he even play? So I think these guys realized, and I've seen it a million times in all sports, the young guys think that the playoffs are just a continuation of the regular season. That's all. They don't realize you're going to the next level in every regard, and every mistake is fatal. Blue Jays learned this. Did they learn enough to come back next year and actually legitimately, can I say, earn a playoff spot? Because they only made it because the expanded playoffs this year. My point was, can they keep all these guys together? Because I think they all want them together. Nate Pearson was awesome yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Hyun-Jin Ryu can't explain what happened to him. He blew up. It happens. But VR, oh, I was supposed to ask him, wasn't I, Clark? The guy didn't get on the Blue Jays roster, so he quit, jumped in his car, and left. That's the rumor. But there's no reason to believe that Ross Atkins and Shapiro can't keep this group together long term, is there? There's no reason to believe that any of those guys would want to leave.
No, I think they're excited. I think the core nucleus, the young nucleus of this team is really strong and really great. So, yeah, I don't think there'll be a problem keeping those guys together. It'll be now, what can they add to this? How do they, you know, improve the pitching staff and, you know, always try and build depth throughout the lineup so you're strong at every spot? That'll be the task now, trying to fill out around some of the young stars. But I think they're ready to take that next step.
Our director of scouting's upset to the point that he's using profanity. Mind you, you used a term similar to that on a Sim broadcast a couple weeks ago. So.
Yeah, big deal.
BS, Smitty says. I don't think we can put that up on the screen, guys. He writes, the CFL is in this mess because of COVID. No doubt there are problem areas. It bothers me the CFL has no communication with fans or media about what's going on. What about the teams? Because I'm talking to team people that have no clue what's going on, where it's going. So what's left in this segment, I guess we can sit here and talk about who's to blame. And what are we putting the blame on? The fact that there's no season? The fact that the future of this league's in doubt? What? I think the way the CFL is set up, I'm going to tell you, has a lot to do with why they're not playing. It doesn't look good that the big four are playing, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL. Doesn't look good the CEBL was able to have a shortened season and award a champion, and the Canadian Premier League. I mean, what tier of pro league are you? Right? It doesn't look good for the CFL. And a lot of it is because maybe the players are making too much money. Maybe the executives are making too much money. Whatever the reason why the CFL didn't play in 2020, it really looks like this. You're almost the only league that didn't. That's just how it looks to society. Can explain to me if I'm wrong, please. In the CFL's defense, the NLL couldn't play either. And they're still talking about that they can't play.
Right. But the difference is in the perspective and the way you feel about it. And all these things are subconscious, right? To us, without even thinking about it, the NFL didn't fail. Right when it happened, we're not going to play. Move on next year. XFL, we got a plan in 2022 to play. But when the CFL says, well, we want to play, we're looking for government, we're trugging ahead, and then you don't move forward and play, and then you have to cancel it at the 11th hour, you failed. There's a difference between having a plan to not play and being successful in executing that plan. But in having a plan to play and getting hub cities locked down and doing all of these things to try and play and then ultimately not being able to, you failed.
So back to that, their plan was Ottawa, give us money and we'll play. That's not much of a plan. And every other league didn't need Ottawa money from what we can see, right? So hang on. We'll come back with a sports update. More on this and Brandon London and thoughts of a CFL-XFL merger. Is that the way to go? I've only been saying it for 20 years, but who am I? It's the RP Show and you're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. We got some breaking news to get to. Somebody's going to have to inform me. Can you check from the Moose Jaw Warriors Twitter feed and now Football Canada?
I'm on it.
Yeah, and I will read the sports update today. The Oakland A's host the Chicago White Sox today in a decisive third game of their American League first round playoff series. Oakland won yesterday to tie the series at 1-1. The winner will move on to face Houston in the American League Division Series. That's a wild card series we're talking about finishing today. Play is underway in Atlanta where the Braves are hosting Cincy. In Game 2, Braves won the opener by edging the Reds 1-0 in 13 innings and can move on with a win. Miami, St. Louis, and the Dodgers will also advance with wins today. Week 4 of the NFL season kicks off tonight as the New York Jets host the Denver Broncos. Both injury-plagued clubs are looking for their first win of the season. Barring an unlikely tie, one of the clubs will start 0-4 for the first time in franchise history. Hard to believe the Jets haven't been 0-4 before. Sorry.
That is hard to believe.
One sec. Let me just get through this. Round one of the PGA Sanderson Farms Championship is underway in Jackson, Mississippi. Canadians in the field include 2015 winner Nick Taylor and 2019 runner-up Corey Connors. The sports update is for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have with 7 amazing flavors, RP Show viewers get 20% off with a promo code RPSHOW. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. So here's the breaking news. Clark, would you mind putting it up on the monitor here? What served me the best?
It's not exactly bell worthy.
It's not?
No. Neither of them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Football Canada is uniting stakeholders for a national football summit. That's the CJFL, the Junior League, the Canadian Junior League, U Sports, and Football Canada. So they're going to have a summit, bring everybody together. I know Jim fairly well.
President of Football Canada.
He's been doing that on a daily basis, talking to the leagues, talking to football entities across the country. But they're going to have a national football summit, so we'll see what comes out of that. That's the breaking. That's what I'm waiting for. But it's still exciting that Football Canada is bringing everybody together. So that's really exciting.
And then, I got the other one. The Warriors just wrote it to me. Here it is. The Moose Jaw Warriors Hockey Club announced today it will commence a formal review of the club's primary logo. This represents the next step in what has been an ongoing internal discussion to this point in time. The hockey club will engage with our stakeholders and community partners as part of this review process. For more information, please contact James Gallo, Director of Hockey Administration. So the Warriors, when all this was going on with the Eskimos and the Redskins earlier on this summer, I asked the Warriors, do you have a statement on your logo? And they said, no, we don't. This is it right here, Kurt, on the chest of Braden Point. I call it a stylized native headdress. And I don't personally believe the Moose Jaw Warriors need to change a thing. And I didn't think they were going to change anything. The last time they spoke on this was 2013. GM Alan Miller said, we're not changing anything. We haven't gotten any trouble for this. We're honoring a group of people. Obviously, there's been heat since then till now, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping for with the announcement, was that they were saying that the review process is done and we're going to go ahead and keep our logo or you know what I mean? I have no problems with it.
But you're white.
That's right. I'm not the guy you look to get offended for other people.
No, there seems to be something wrong with native headdresses right now, because the Kansas City Chiefs in their week one game instituted a ban on the native headdresses and they haven't been allowed since. Chicago Blackhawks have it in their logo. They said we're not changing it. So I don't know where we're going.
Well, and with Chicago, with the Blackhawks, they said you know, we're keeping it. We're very proud of this. It's got a lot of history. But the fans aren't allowed to wear the headdresses. That's reserved for the Chiefs, and that's reserved. It's a very significant
okay.
thing, wearing the headdress and that. And we don't want that to just be willy-nilly. We want to respect the culture. So we're going to wear it on our chest, and that's we feel very honored to wear it on our chest. You can't just put it on and wear it like a Halloween costume.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense.
So that it comes from a point of, hey, we're going to be really respectful here.
Here's Bellworthy, Craig Monroe, Craig in Regina, one of our regular longtime viewers, says the Rod Peterson Show has a new viewer, Bryden Timothy Monroe, born September 30th.
Ring it again. Yeah.
Hey, that's right. The Rod Squad's expanding. Congratulations, Craig, and your lovely wife. You are way, way, way over your head with her, and I've said that for years. Congratulations. Glad that Bryden has come to the world healthy, wealthy, and well. Brandon London is an NFL CFL veteran. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. New York Giants, Miami Dolphins, Pittsburgh Steelers, and then the Montreal Alouettes, 2011 to 2014, won a Super Bowl with the New York Football Giants. And Brandon London, now the star of stage, screen, and film, joins us from his home. How you doing, Brandon?
Man, I'm blessed, man. Staying healthy, grateful for everything that I have this year. And it's just one of those crazy years for all of us. But at the same time, man, still blessed. So thanks for having me back on the show. I know last time I had some hiccups.
You were on the way. You were on the way to the beach in the car, and the cell service was an issue. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm in New Jersey, right outside of East Rutherford, New Jersey. So the fact that I shoot remotely from home for the show, that the daytime talk show, Daily Blast Live, I'm usually based out of Denver, but instead of traveling back and forth like I do during the football season for my Giants stuff, I'm able to shoot that from home, and then I go into the Giants facility Thursdays and Fridays.
So here's one for you. Since you are very close to the home of the New York Guardians of the XFL, how do you feel about the news that the XFL is returning in 2022, and how do you think that affects the CFL and NFL?
Well, I think it's great news, honestly, man. Any league that guys can continue to play football, can continue to live their dream. You know, obviously, as a football player and as an athlete, and having guys that friends that play in that that league and in the CFL, any league that's available for guys to continue to live the dream, I'm always going to champion for. I love the fact that The Rock is behind it, so you know there's going to be some sort of entertainment aspect on it, or entertainment appeal for the fans. Because I mean, let's be honest, you don't have headline names like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson when it comes to this league, so I can see The Rock kind of putting it on the production standpoint and entertainment standpoint, making it something that's really appealing for the fan to want to watch and to want to watch the game and watch these athletes. When it comes to the CFL, you know, I think you'll miss out. I think some of you, I think it'll be a half and half thing, because a lot of guys, the one thing that the CFL, It's a mystique league to some guys in the NFL. I mean, some guys where they get cut from the NFL before they go up there. And guys, you know, call me all the time, or they'll text me all the time. And, hey, what was your experience like up there? And I tell them, man, I had a great 4 or 5 years up there. I encourage each athlete, each player that reaches out to me and asks me about my experience and if they have to go up there, I tell them, you need to go up there, because it is the NFL in Canada. The way you guys, your fans, the way your league is, the setup, the way that you get that whole experience of being a professional athlete, you really feel that up there. So I think the only thing that when it comes to the CFL competing with the XFL, I think the CFL has to do a great job in the sense of marketing it to these players who are going up there who know nothing about the league.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the product in the CFL has always been great, and it's tragic, frankly, in football terms, that they're not playing in 2020, but it is what it is. But Brandon, you're in New Jersey. You just said it. This bothers me a lot. From my American CFL friends, they say, I hate that people in America think it's so easy to play in the CFL. Or Chris Jones, for instance, of the Cleveland Browns, you know, former coach here, said, I'm defending the CFL in America or to my NFL friends. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter what they think. Brandon, why? That's a fight I don't think you're ever going to win.
No, not at all. I mean, down here in America, we have our own way of thinking anyway. That's we'll say that for another show, another time. But, you know, yeah, you are constantly having to defend that league. And it's unfortunate. But like I said, it's because people down here don't know nothing about it, you know, in that sense. And I think it was great how the ESPN was playing those games. Late July, all through July. But then as soon as the NFL came and the preseason games would go, you kind of put the CFL games on the back burner when it came to getting national exposure. People weren't watching unless they had a friend or a family member that were playing up in the CFL. And that's unfortunate. And I tell people all the time, because they ask me, like, what's the difference between, you know, the game speed, or what's the difference between the game of the CFL and the NFL? Obviously, you know, the 12 players, that. But I tell people the game speed is still just as fast as the NFL. And, you know, if you look at guys in the CFL, the reason why they're not playing in the NFL is, you know, they could still run a 4.3 or 4.4, but they're 5.9, you're a 5.9 corner instead of a 6.2 corner, you know. And it's little things like that. I feel like you're constantly having to defend, but guys can go down and play in the NFL. I mean, guys can make rosters. You just see a lot of the times when guys are in these NFL training camps, you're going to miss out on making a team because they're going to go with their draft pick over the undrafted free agent who came and had a solid camp and may have even played better than their draft pick or a guy that they are paying money to, you know? So the road to get to the CFL for some guys, it doesn't mean that you can't play in the NFL. A lot of the times it's just, you know, the circumstances of it. But, you know, it's one of those things where I just hope that people continue to watch this league and people continue to keep their eyes on it, because it's a quality product. And that's what Americans need to understand.
So, and we hear it all the time. It's not respected enough in America. Whatever, who cares? If it was on TV down there, people would watch it. They'd know. Is the XFL respected amongst your peeps? For level of play?
I'm going to respect it because it's a league for the guys. But no, fans, if you're a true diehard NFL fan, you don't really care much about the XFL unless you're watching a guy who you thought should have made the team for your team, or it's a story where like a Maurice Clarett or one of those guys where it's like, hey, we followed you all throughout college and you were this just great football player in college, but things happen in the NFL. Now we want to see you in the XFL to see if you can get another shot in the NFL. People, it was this past season, it was fun to watch for me on my end of it, because I wanted to see football. But at the same time, you know, you would ask, you know, people at work, you know, for Daily Blast Live, one of our editors, my boy Darren, and he's like, why would I watch that? You know, LeVar Jackson's not playing. You know, Odell's not playing. Why would I watch that? And I was like, look, take away the names of the game. Watch the X's and O's. Watch the play actions. Watch the eight-man protections and max protections, and watch the crossing route with the post over the top. Is the safety going to jump the crossing route so we can throw the post? I'm telling people to watch because of that. But your everyday fan, your willy nilly fan, they don't know they don't watch the game the way I watch football. And you know, I'm a coach's kid, so I grew up watching football differently. Period. So, that's why I say The Rock coming in and probably doing some sort of entertainment appeal aspect to it is what's going to get more people to watch. But they're not watching for names, you know. Per se, they're going to be watching just because it's on.
Those people are biting into the marketing hook of the NFL, and good for the NFL, by the way. We just need to market more of the Canadian Football League, which is only something we've been saying for 25 years. Brandon,
do you guys really, like, you don't have to market it down here. That's y'all's pride and joy. And it's not for, you know, you want Americans to watch it. I understand that, because it would bring in more revenue. But at the end of the day, you guys have your fan base and people who love that game. Your game, your CFL, your league has been around longer than the NFL. And I respect that league.
But even in Canada, we're losing the marketing battle to the NFL. That's all that I'm saying. It needs to be marketed better in this country. Listen, the American rookie that shows up, the hotshot stud at NCAA and lands in Winnipeg and thinks he's going to tear up this league, that's never going to change. Right? Because he doesn't know. He's not going to learn until he steps on day one of practice and gets his ass kicked. That's when he's going to realize, whoa, this is real. All right? That will never change.
And that's real. We've seen, I remember being with the S.J. Greens, the Jamel Richardsons, Kerry Watkins, Anthony Calvillo's, and you'll see these hot shots just walk up in there and be like, oh, well, I played at Florida, or I was in the league for 3 or 4 years, and you come in and this guy is absolutely horrible, and you're like, oh, he's not gonna last long. He's gonna get paid a loony and a toony, and he's getting sent back home because he's awful. And yeah, the guys come up there with that fault, that bravado, that thinking that they can run the league just because they played at a certain school or had a cup of tea with a certain NFL team. Nah, we saw so many washouts throughout that Montreal Alouettes organization, and you know, it's a humbling experience for those guys.
Every team has one, but I just remember a guy came up. I don't want to name him because it didn't end well. But he was a sack record holder in the Arena League, and he showed up first day, gets out of the cab at Taylor Field, and says, "What's the league sack record? I'm going to set it." And we're like, "I think he played one game." And I don't like you. You get it? Can we put the comment up from Micah Awe? Mike is he played at Texas Tech, Brandon, and he's a Winnipeg Blue Bomber linebacker. He says, last person I saw when I got cut from the Jets was Sam Darnold. Didn't get a chance to even practice in training camp. Don't feel bad for me. Feel bad for the offensive players I get to go against. Hashtag, we all have stories. That's from Micah Awe. So you're sitting there covering New York football, Brandon. Like, what's wrong with that city? Where did they lose their way?
Oh man, I need aspirin sometimes, man. I wish I had the answers. You know, I really wish I had the answers. When you think about being able to play a sport in a market like New York, you would think that you would be able to draw in top tier athletes. You would be able to draw in players who can play and win for both organizations, you know. And it's been some rough years for the New York Giants. You know, I've been a part of this organization on the TV production side since 2016, and it's really been rough. And part my job is to galvanize and do TV stuff a lot with the fan base. And the fan base, you know, you have your diehards who are like, we're going to stick through it. But, you know, you have also people that it's like, oh, you start off 0-2, fire this guy. We need to cut this guy. And I just don't understand how both organizations can be so bad right now. And, you know, I know it's bad when I have Cleveland Browns fans texting me before games like, man, I hope you guys win today. Like, what do you mean? You're a Cleveland Browns fan and you're wishing me luck. It's, you know, it's bad here in New York, but I also see, especially with the New York Giants, I can see the Mara family turning this thing around sometime soon within the next couple of years, because you're used to having such a great football team and organization within this city.
Will you take a fantasy question from our producer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is for fantasy, right, Clark? Is it not? Are the Giants absolutely hooped with Saquon Barkley, or can Devonta Freeman take over?
Saquon's the guy, man. And when you think of this, when you think of this ACL injury, I know he's going to come back. You know, come back just as strong as Adrian Peterson did that time. Devonta Freeman, I think he's a plug right now. I think he's someone that, you know, you just throw in there. He's a veteran back that has had a lot of success in this league. And I think if we can get that offensive line going with the run game, then later on in the season, I see him picking up and maybe being someone to pick up for fantasy. But right now, I wouldn't pick him up for fantasy right now until we get things going on that offensive line, man. Because it doesn't matter who you put back there. If you can't block for them consistently, then they're not going to do much.
When I'm filling out my lineup, I'll just stay away from the Giants. I usually do.
No, you get. I think Evan Engram, though, I'm still, and people get on me all the time, but I think Evan Engram, when he and Jason Garrett in this offense get clicking, I think Evan Engram is going to be a really good pickup. But it's just the when. It's when is that going to pick up, and when is that going to get clicking?
There you go, Clark. And for all fantasy players, you're welcome. Brandon London, this has been great. Worth the wait. Thanks so much, and hopefully we can do it again down the line here.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate you all, especially, I say it all the time, to the fans of the CFL, like, thank you for embracing me up there during that time. And you helped not only with my football career, but you helped me transition into my entertainment career as well. So I always have a special love for your country.
CFL's done great things for so many people. Brandon, stay safe. Talk soon.
Take it easy.
That is Brandon London from Giants TV, Daily Buzz TV. The guy is a star. We'll be back. Lots to get to. Overtime. Check the poll results. I feel like we could go another hour today.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we will. Stay tuned. It's the RP Show. Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back. I'm fired up today. Yeah. Should have had a camera going.
Right? Like, that's the content.
In the break. I don't know where to start. My mind's flushing. Like, you see the CFL teams are now slashing their staffs, and it's horrible. Especially if you've never been fired before. And for their families, we all feel for them, and this is all because of the flu. Topic for another time. But what bothers me is people are writing me saying, well, you called it, Rod, you called it. I'm not proud of the fact I said this was coming. I would think that this is elementary for anybody that can see where it's going. They're not playing. There's no money coming in. They've got to cut all expenses. And as a former restaurateur, as you know, I wrote it in my column on the weekend, our number one cost was labor. What's the first thing that's going to go? Your workforce. It's not that hard. So the CFL is going to mothball itself for a year. Maybe two. So when they do know that they can come back and play, then they're going to hire far less people than they had before all of this. And when I say it's going to be unrecognizable when it comes back, I dabbled on this a little bit yesterday. I'll go a little further in it today. The names will be gone. The Stefan Logans, the Travis Lules, the Chris Cuthberts, the Marcel Belfays, the Dwayne Mandrusiaks. All these people in the front offices that are gone. 40% of the Ottawa Sports Entertainment Group was let go yesterday. 500,000 trimmed out of Winnipeg's payroll. It's going to be over a million in Saskatchewan gone by the time they're all said and done with what's going on over there. And if they do merge with the XFL and the CFL, it's, to me, it's very elementary that they would do that. And Vince McMahon wanted a league that would not compete with the NFL, complement the NFL. That's why they played in February, March, and April. There was no NFL then. So the CFL, this is why I say it's going to be unrecognizable. If they do what I think is the prudent thing and the open-minded thing, and that is maybe pool with the XFL, maybe you do become a spring league. And then you're not fighting with the NFL because curses. We don't want the NFL money. We don't want to give up control of the NFL. Then you don't have to, but you can partner with the XFL. But how this is going to look unrecognizable to you is that maybe we are playing in March, April, May, kicking off at the start of March. I know it sounds crazy, and you might have to have your training camp inside, but you could play in those conditions. Instead of cold conditions at the end of the year, you might be having them at the start of the year. True story. Let's be honest. They played in minus 30. I was there. So these are all things that need to happen. And I said it earlier, one large talent pool, Americans, Canadians, and global players. So you can satisfy everybody. So it's not just the Canadian teams having to play with half the roster being Canadian. Maybe we can make it work in America that'll be the thing. But Craig Smith saying, BS, COVID is the only reason the CFL's not playing. Love you, Craig. I've said it a million times. You couldn't be more wrong. COVID exposed the Canadian Football League. period. Just like a lot of these other businesses that went out of business or are struggling right now. They've been doing it with smoke and mirrors for years. The businesses that are still thriving are the ones that were built brick by brick by brick and mortar that could withstand a hurricane. CFL's been a house of cards for far, far, far too long. And the problem is the people now that are running it currently. There's good people in the league. Nobody ever said there wasn't. We talk about the product. Do you think these current owners had anything to do with the product on the field? No, it was the people that came before them that set this framework for the Canadian Football League. But I will say it. You can put this on my tombstone too. If you have a great product and nobody knows about it, that's your fault. Not society's. The CFL is as good or better than the NFL in terms of an entertainment product, and yet nobody seems to know about it, and it's fading in Canada. That's not Canadians' problem. That's the CFL's problem. Over to you.
Write that down. 52-30.
We have a lot of content coming out of today.
Yeah. I mean, but you're right. But it's the guys like Craig Smith who have made the CFL great.
They built it.
And without COVID, CFL would still be playing. So he's not completely wrong that COVID has killed the CFL, because without COVID, we'd still be on the field. But the CFL could survive with a stronger business model and a stronger financial model like the other leagues have, and find a way to persevere and play. And I can go even farther than that, just with the figure-it-outness and the leadership to be able to say, oh, look, we don't have this under control. How do we get on the field? Like, there's always a roadmap to be able to get on the field or to be able to play. They just didn't figure it out. And that's, you know, the fault of the league a little bit, that they couldn't get the CFL playing. But at the same time, it might be the best thing for the league, as we've talked about, to be able to get down to zero and rebuild it the right way, right? Something that's sustainable. There's no question that the product is great, that the game is really good, that the players are awesome, that the football people in the league has never really been a problem. It's all been on the business side, right? The marketing and the growth of the league.
What did I say months ago? I said the CFL, if they know one thing, it's football. They know what they're doing, right? So, no, Craig Smith, the football guys aren't the problem. It's getting the word out. And, Craig, you shouldn't be marketing. You should be finding players. That's what you do. The ball dropping here has been done by the exposure in the league and the short-sightedness, which I don't think the CFL would even argue now, that to go with one television broadcaster was one of the worst decisions they've ever made. And they don't think that they made a mistake there. So many people in the CFL have said, Rod, there would be no CFL without TSN. I'm like, but think a little beyond where this decision is. Sportsnet doesn't even know that you exist or care. And CBC, forget it. How many Canadians are we ignoring now because they don't cover the CFL anymore? Just no. I'm sure the CFL didn't think that was going to happen. Right? I'm sure they didn't think these other networks would completely ignore them if they went with TSN. And it shouldn't have happened. But it did.
Look at what CBC does, you know, for hockey in this province, and the networks are taking the hockey away from the CBC because they want to suck every dollar out of it. The CBC plays the game across the country for free to Canadians who can just tune it in. You don't even need a cable.
Every television
now,
in Canada.
Now, I don't know now if you can fire rabbit ears into the sky and get CBC in HD. I don't think that's possible. But you always could. You didn't need to pay for cable, and you could always get the game once a week. And you get people hooked on this wonderful game that takes us to our core. And then what do you want to do? You want to watch more of it. So you get the cable subscription, and you watch it on TSN. You watch it on Sportsnet, and you pay. But now they want to suck all the money and make you pay to watch on Saturday night. Even now, the Hockey Night in Canada games and the playoff games weren't on CBC every night, so they weren't available. But when they are on CBC, what does CBC do? As much as we want to, crap on the CBC for, taking our tax dollars and not spending them wisely and things like that, CBC gets the game on Hockey Night in Canada, and then they stream it online at CBC Sports for free. for free, streamed. So you can watch it anywhere, cable subscription or no cable subscription, and it gets you to like the game a little bit. But again, we want to suck every dollar out of it. The TSN deal is great for the league in terms of, you know, money coming in, and they provide a wonderful product. But being on multiple networks for a few less dollars would be so much more beneficial in terms of growing the game.
Just one more. John, before we break, John in Edmonton says, Canadian CFL fans don't want the CFL to merge with the XFL or NFL. He's talking about they don't want NFL Canada. They don't want to merge with the XFL. I will just say this, not that I'm on any moral ground here or authority, but as a recovery coach, this is what I would tell the CFL and their fans that don't want to see any changes. How's that working for you? You're in a hell of a deep hole right now. Are you going to keep digging? Or are you going to reach out for help? That's the quintessential concept of recovery. Keep doing what you're doing. How's that working out? We'll be back with overtime in a second. And I want to talk about these junior hockey changes, too. You see what they're doing in Quebec? You got to. They've stiffened the penalties for fighting. Regular season begins tonight in the Q. We'll talk about that and more. It is the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back. I was just signing up for the XFL newsletter in the break. So, bear with me. And I'm going to dig up that Q story in a minute and the O. But I just directed Darren in the break to watch the 59-second video the XFL put out with their announcement this morning, voiced by The Rock. We should all, if we could, I'd like to air it here, but I think we'd get shut down for copyright infringement. Darren, talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, it's amazing.
Wow. Wow. I mean,
I said it would make you tingle.
Yeah. It's done more than that. There is. Careful.
Another bumper.
Viewer discretion is advised. I mean, there's videos like that all over the place. It's not like unseen things, but man, it's exactly what you need. I mean, fall in love with the game, the stories, that's passion, right? I mean, the NFL has got their model up to a point where, hey, we just watch Red Zone. We know the players. We want to see the scores. We want to see the highlights. And it's a juggernaut churning over all the time. The problem is the other leagues and teams and organizations think they can do the same thing. We just got to show the highlights. We got to get to the nuts and bolts, the game, the X's and O's. Nobody's fallen in love with the game yet, so you can't get to the X's and O's. That's the boring stuff that the diehards love.
Yep.
You got to get the casual fans involved. This gets the casual fans involved. This is, oh my gosh, I need to watch this. This makes me feel something. What did you say yesterday? Let's feel something, right? So now they're going to get in here, and I'm going to hear about PJ Walker, and I'm going to find out his story, and it's going to feel like that. I'm going to feel something. I'm going to want him to do well, and it's going to make me feel good. And then the next guy, and the next guy, and I'm going to learn about these teams, and they're going to have identity. We're going to figure out who's the team that sucks and has the underdog coach who's been passed over six times, and we're going to feel something for him, and we're going to know who's the Bill Belichick of the XFL, who's the big, bad, you know, boy on the street. Or girl on the street that's the heavy favorite, the David versus Goliath. Like
all the stories.
Those matter. And we need to get to that in the Canadian Football League. We need it so badly, and we've lost our way. We just think that the game is so great, which it is, and we think everybody is just instantly going to understand how great it is and instantly going
to
understand.
But tell everybody. I mean, I go back to the wonderful video about This Is Our Game or whatever it was. You folks remember that? That was presented or produced during the Cohan era. And then we see Randy Ambrosi saying, well, it wasn't inclusive enough. I'm like, just needling every little thing that they do. It was talking about Normie Kwong and Hugh Campbell and Angelo Mosca, the history of the league. Eh, it's not inclusive enough. Stop it! And I would direct you to go to my Twitter feed if you want, because you'll see it. At Rod Peterson, it's got the XFL video on there. And I said to Darren, it's going to make you horny. Apparently it did. Whoa!
These things turn my crank. What can I say?
Put the camera on. There you go. It makes you feel something. You said it best. It makes you feel something.
Feel something. Meh. Doesn't do anything for anybody.
The Quebec Major Junior Hockey League approved stiffer punishments for fighting Wednesday, a day before the start of the regular season. All players involved in a fight will receive a 10-minute misconduct and a 5-minute major. Previously, players were assessed only the 5-minute major. Anyone deemed to be an instigator also will get a 2-minute minor. The amended rules will see players automatically handed a 1-game suspension after the third fight, plus another game suspension for each additional skirmish. Representatives from the league's 18 teams in Quebec and the Maritimes voted on the rules in a video conference. The stiffer penalties came after Isabelle Charest, the minister responsible for sport in Quebec, called on the league to ban fighting. The league is seeking $20 million in government assistance to help cover revenue loss due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's interesting. The Q is going to play. They've still asked for government support. They've asked for a little over $1 million per team, even though they're going to play. If they get it, we'll see how that plays out in the O and the dub. As it stands right now, they're stuck in park. I know people were writing in earlier asking about what we thought with the WHL, but as it stands right now, I can't see them playing. Spoken with some government officials over the past week, and they said they don't expect any changes to the large gatherings, indoor or outdoor, numbers until the spring at the earliest, which to me spells curtains for the CFL. And that's where funny how things go full circle around here.
Oh, yeah.
How we started the show, where I admire the XFL that just said, we're not going to sit and say, should we or shouldn't we play in 2021? We're just going to say we're not. And we're going to come back stronger in 2022. Now, when they went bankrupt this past spring, they laid off everybody because they went bankrupt. Everybody lost their jobs. That's where the CFL's going anyways. So I would have liked to have said the CFL say, look, we can't play in 2021 either. We're sorry. We're going to come back stronger in 2022. That's what I think is the only option here. And I'll get your final thoughts in a minute, but I will say this. I've had two medical professionals in the last week to my face. One said, A, all of these protocols are for real. This is a very scary virus. The social distancing is a thing. Wear a mask and yeah, everything's right. I had another medical professional, 180 degrees different, say to me, it's far, far overboard with the precautions that they're doing. And you see what's going on in America and they seem to be fine. And they were both in Canada, both guys. So when I see so many people saying, who do you believe? You need to find it in here, get as much information as you can, and decide on your own what you think is right. And I'll probably reveal that over the weekend. I'm not going to sit and do that today. But it's just as simple as your difference in political philosophies or life philosophies. Are they doing the right thing? Or are they doing the wrong thing? Here's two guys in the same profession, diametrically opposed in their opinions.
Yeah. You can only control what you can control and how you react to situations and how you feel. And it's funny, I just saw on online Mike Tomlin's response to the whole Steelers-Titans matchup, and it kind of made me think about this kind of topic because they're going to reschedule that game till later in the year. And they asked him, you know, how do you feel about losing your Week 8 bye and having to play 13 straight weeks without a bye week? And people are going to complain, that's not fair, they shouldn't do this, that's not fair, how can you take that away?
Yep.
All he said, we do not care. We do not care. We're going to control what we can control, right? They're going to control what they can control and deal with the cards that they've been dealt, right? There's no point in, you know, crying and complaining about what's been taken away or what's not. They're going to go forward and deal with what is. And, you know, it's all about how you react to situations. That's it.
What did you think of my reading from the Secret app today?
It was great.
I was going to go off today on COVID talk and my thoughts, and then I read this morning first thing. From the Secret daily app, today's reading. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, and whatever you do, give love and appreciation because that is your true nature. How do you know it is your true nature? You feel so good when you're giving it. Love you all. Staying happy. And we'll be talking sports tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here with a Flame Tech Football Friday with Tory Gurley, Sportsnet's Ken Reed, Merrill candidate Jerry Flagel coming up with some big news, and of course, John Frenzy. See you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.